Our gracious God, we pray that you will open our minds that we may see and that we may enjoy the life that we may have with our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to enjoy the Sabbath that comes every seventh day so that we may come unto thee, Father. And this morning as we look at the seals, help us to see how it relates to history and to the end of time as we know it today. Guide our thoughts, Father, and that thou be with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, we see the history here of the world. We can see the history of it right here from creation to the end. And there is going to be a change, quite a change in this earth just before our Lord comes, while he's coming. The great, real great earthquake that will come and change all things. So the last time I was up here, we did look at the seven seals, and we're going to look at them again, see how many we can get through today. You know, see that? So if you would turn to chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. We know these. We've read them time and time again. Verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. From Testimonies, volume 9, page 267, it reads, "The fifth chapter of Revelation needs to be closely studied. It is of great importance to those who act in the Word of God for these last days." And so we pray that we are studying it. And then chapter 4 and verse 1, our scripture reading. 4, verse 1. "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter." Yes. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven." Ellen White says, "This door was not opened until the mediation of Christ was finished in the holy place of the heavenly sanctuary in 1844. Then Jesus rose up and shut the door of the holy place and opened the door into the most holy place and passed within the veil where he now ministers." And we know that he is there now ministering on our behalf, the behalf of his children, the dead first and then the living. We see that chapter 4 of Revelation describes the throne of God in heaven, and where it is brought into view there in 1844 when that door of the most holy place was opened. Daniel was also given a view of this scene in Daniel 7, 9 through 10 and verse 13. "And a voice said, Come up and close, and I will show these things which must be the hereafter, or must transpire after 1844, after the opening of the door," verse 4:1. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals." We see that Revelation 6 covers six seals, and chapter 8 covers the seventh seal. There's an interlude in there between of chapter 7. We'll talk about that the next time. The excerpt that I'm going to be using today is taken from Daniel and Revelation by Uriah Smith and The Seer of Patmos by S.N. Haskell. And as we look at these, as many events and things that are told in the Bible, there's at least two views, or even more views, of things or interpretations of that, especially there in Revelation. And I will be talking about the Adventist Church's view on these things. So we see there the first seal in chapter 6. "When I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as if it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Yes, to go forth and conquer, and did have victory. We know that God will have victory. The Lord Jesus Christ has victory already over the devil. All that was paid at Calvary's cross. Death was conquered. Sin was conquered. The adversary was conquered. And this is a fit symbol here in this first seal, the triumphs of the gospel in the first century for the Christian era. And it's the Ephesus age of the Ephesus church from about 31 A.D. to 100 A.D. The white horse destroys or denotes purity of the faith in that age. This church age was crowned with success, and it went forth conquering, and it had victory as a Christian church was started there and then went on to cover the whole earth. We're told that this is the church militant and not the church triumphant from Testimonies to Ministers, page 45. It's an established fact that there are three distinct times in which God the Father has asked us to take the gospel to the world. Number one, at Pentecost. There it was commissioned to go to the whole world. First to the people of Israel and then to the whole world. Second, at the opening of the judgment in 1844, take the message to the world. And then when the loud cry begins, we are to proclaim the words, "Come out of her, my people." And this is the last and final message for a dying world. We pray that we are ready, that we will help others to be ready for the end times that are coming truly upon us. And they're going to get worse than better. So we just ask for that guidance. And then the second seal. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they that should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. This is the Smyrna church from 100 to 313 B.C. The red horse denotes the defilement of the pure principles of the Christianity mixed with pagan doctrines. And the red may be corruption of the faith. There are others, as I said, with more than one view. In some view that the red is blood, is of blood that they're talking about. We know that the great sword denotes the slaughter of the Christian during the pagan Roman persecution. See that? And so we see that that history is true. The Bible proves the history of this world. And yet there are people out there that will not accept it. We pray that we have accepted it. In the third seal, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." What does a penny buy today? They're trying to even to do away with the penny. And so it may happen, you know, that. See that? And this is a Pergamos church from 313 to 538 A.D. And the black horse depicted the darkness and moral corruption that was going on at that time during that church age. The time that intervened between Constantine and the establishment of the papacy in 538 AD may be noted as a time of the darkest hour, where errors and grossest superstitions sprang up in the church. So we have to be careful if we see that. Then it talks about the balances or weighing time. may denote that religious and civil powers would be united in the person who would administer the executive power in the government. We see now that that's trying to be done in the world today. Trying to make peace among all nations. And that he would claim the judicial authority of both the church and the state. So we see the balance is there. And as Ellen White talks about the balance in Treasury Testimonies, page 251, in the balances of the sanctuary, the Adventist church is to be weighed. In the awful presence of God, our lives are to come up in review. At this time, above all others, it behooves every soul to heed the Savior's admonition to watch and pray, for ye know not when that time is. And we don't. We don't know the time. We need to be constantly praying for guidance and direction so that we may see and be ready for the coming of the Lord. How we see these things happen in history in the past, and we know much of history is going to be repeated. So we need to be ready for it. And this was true among the Roman emperors from the day of Constantine until the reign of Justinian, when he gave the same judicial powers over to the Bishop of Rome. And then we look at the scale. The wheat and barley for a penny. In Bible times, we see that a penny was a day's wages or a day's pay. And this also means the presence of high cost of things. And it was there at those times for them. Today, we have extreme high prices. We have a severity of hard times. We have distress, famine, want. We have a spiritual famine. A cheaper grade of spiritual food offered to the people. A time when truth and error would be mixed until tradition would far outreach the truth. And at that time, the members of the church would do anything or sell anything to gain money. We can see in many places that's even happened today. We look at the oil and the wine that may denote the graces of the Spirit, faith and love, which were not taught under the influence of so much worldliness, but to have faith and love as children of the God. I pray that we would do that. God has opened Daniel and Revelation to us so that we may understand. And as I mentioned in Sabbath school, that God, the believers, are able to understand. They had the mystery of God explained to them, but unbelievers cannot. They cannot understand the Word of God. Historians say that the prosperity of the church in this age produced the corruption which finally terminated in the falling away and setting up of the anti-Christian abominations that came into the world. And then we can look at the fourth seal. The fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given under them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. That's a pale horse. The rider there, named Death, and hell followed. And that hell that they're talking about is the grave. This age was also the beginning of the Reformers era, or Reformers around the 14th century A.D. They began their work by exposing the corruption of the papal system. We know that the papal power had full sway and jurisdiction over a fourth of the earth, or a wide world, wide area of the earth. Then we look at the sword. They, the papacy, by the way of the civil government, caused death to upon the saints of God. And that death is pestilence. By exposure, torture, sword, hunger, wild beasts, burning stakes, racks, and any other measures. So we look at these first four seals. See the man riding on a horse, all with a different color. Symbols representing history from the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to the end of time. We know that the greatest seal that we can have is the seal of God. To have the law of God sealed in our hearts so that we may be His. And so we look to that and pray that everything will be right with us. In the fifth seal. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O God, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they are should be fulfilled. Yes, that white robe that we will put on one day, that we will wear that robe of righteousness, praying that everything can be there. The time of this seal was opened about the time when the reformers began to explode the papal fabrications and restraints of the persecution of the Roman Catholic Church. That was until about 1755 A.D. We see that souls under the altar is a system. The Lord uses the altar in the days of Israel when the blood of the animals flowed down under the altar. And these dear saints who were slain during the persecution as being given on the altar of sacrifice. We see that the blood represents the people crying out to God to avenge their blood on their murderers. The truths in the faith for which they gave their lives, we may have to do that today ourselves to do that. But they were, at that time they were vindicated by the reformers as being just and true. So we know that we can look at these seals and see how they pertain to then, and they may even pertain to these end times. The symbol of the white robe that I talked about was given them Christ's righteousness, which it promises that they should wait just a little longer for their fellow servants and brethren should be killed as they. Yes, all the saints, all the people have been crucified for accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, for accepting the Bible in their lives to do it. And then the sixth seal, the sixth one, verse 12. And they beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. The seal opened just about the time, or just prior to the closing of the 1260 years of the Dark Ages. It opened up about 1755 when the great Lisbon earthquake took place. Then on May 19th, 1780, sun became dark, and the moon turned to blood. Then on November 13th, 1833, the stars fell from heaven. And this has fulfilled the prophecy up to this date. The great event that we need to look forward to is the Lord Jesus Christ coming, our Savior and our Redeemer, in all of His glory, to light up the world so that every eye shall see. How that's going to be done, we don't know. Some say that the earth is going to be rolled out like a scroll. Others say that it's different times that they're going to see Him as the earth removes, or the Savior moves. But I don't believe that that might be right, because it's a quick time when the Lord comes. Right up to that time, it's nothing that we look at and see that's going to take that it takes a short period of time to see that. And so we can look at that. And if we'd quickly turn to the seventh seal in Revelation 18, at another time I'll talk about chapter 7. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then another angel come, and these things here. From 1844 to the end. And so we see that. The seventh seal reveals what great event. Silence in heaven in space of a half hour. Before this seventh seal was opened, there's a great activity in heaven. In an article entitled "To the Letter Remnant, to the Little Remnant Scattered Broadside," we read this statement: "I saw a flaming cloud come where Jesus stood. Then Jesus took his place on a cloud, which carried him to the east, where it first appeared to the saints of earth. And as a small black cloud, which is the sign of the Son of Man. While the cloud is passing from the most holy place to the east, which takes a number of days, the synagogue of Satan worships at the saints' feet. Thus it is after this cloud carrying Jesus and those coming with him, otherwise known as the kings of the east, arrive, when it is visible for all of us." So what caused this silence in heaven? All the angelic host will accompany Jesus at his coming to receive his saints. Matthew 25, verse 36. Heaven, therefore, will be empty and silent under the seventh seal. We're in between the sixth and seventh seal right now. And if a half hour being a symbol, then one half hour is computed on the one day, or day-year base, and becomes seven and a half, or at least approximately seven and a half literal days. Therefore, the saints will keep one Sabbath on their wonderful journey to heaven, to the city of God. We will be able to do that along with them. From God's message to the remnant church: "Then there was a mighty earthquake. The graves opened, and the dead came up clothed with immortality. The 144,000 shouted, 'Hallelujah,' as they recognized their friends who had been torn from them by death. And in the same moment, we were changed and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air." Early writings, page 16. We all entered the cloud together and were 7 days ascending to the sea of glass, when Jesus brought the crowns and with his own right hand placed them on our heads, and that we can receive our crowns, to receive our stars at that time, and then our precious God will present us to the Father, that we've been longing to see, along with being in the presence of our holy Christ and our holy Savior. The end of history of God's work of saving humanity is coming. From the resurrection of Jesus to the final resurrection of the saints, The gospel work is completed. And God has asked us to help us to do that, to complete this gospel work. Every soul, both living and dead, has made his or her decision for truth or error. We pray that each one of us has chosen truth. For God or for Satan. The Lord of glory takes his rightful place as head of a redeemed race. To truly know that we can be a redeemed people. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. What a wonderful experience that we can have as we have the life with the Lord Jesus Christ while we're yet here upon this earth. To know and truly trust that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. That he wants us to be ready. And I pray that each one of us is ready as we continue to study the Word of God. And pray that each one of us will be able to meet on a sea of glass one day soon. Yes, our gracious Father, we pray that we will hold fast to thy word. We ask, Father, and know that arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Thank you, Father, once again, for the Savior that will come soon to collect his people, to collect the saints, and take them home to paradise, to be with him forever and ever. We pray that each one of us will be there. In Jesus' precious name, amen.